Start today the Torah Way Northwest, London, Friday, 26th of Shavat, 28th of January. Rabbi Adam Edwards, is a Dayan allowed to pervert the course of justice? This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by family Rav Ekir and Nishmas Moraz Chavabas from Mod Chameh and El Shalom Ziyatza was Kavta Lateves, and by family Wiesenfeld, the Nishmas Moraz Chavabas Simcha Yisrael Dick, Ziyatza was yesterday. Rinishmas Rav Yitzchok ben Rabbi Yaakov Wiesenfeld, Zichron Levrocha, whose Yahrzeit is tomorrow.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me back. So the title, the sheet says Parshas Mishpatim, which I assumed meant I just happened to be talking Parshas Mishpatim, which gave me the latitude really to talk about anything I wanted. So that's what I'm doing. So we know in Parshas Kedoshim, the Pasuk says, Lo Sasu Avel B'Mishpat. It says that you shouldn't cause a perversion of justice. Rashi explains that a Dayan who rules falsely, he doesn't give the correct psak, has caused a perversion of justice, and what he has done, Rashi gives the very strong word, he has caused a, what he's done is a to'eva. So Ava, so obviously there's lots to discuss when it comes to discussing Bote Dinim. What's interesting and where we're going to start is with the following tshuva of the Rashba. We know there's lots of mitzvahs deraisa, lots of mitzvahs derabbanon that we have throughout the year, and the Rashba asks a question. When do we say a brocha on a mitzvah? When do we not say a brocha on a mitzvah? Because there is a mitzvah when it comes to setting up Beis Din. The posuk in Shoftim says, Shoftim v'shotrim tito necha b'chol sharecha. There's a mitzvah to set up a Beis Din. And yet the question is, why don't we say a brocha? Either on setting up a Beis Din, or when you go to a case, to why don't we say why is there no brocha? A reasonable question. So the Rashba says this is in Chelik Aleph Simen Yud Ches. He says like this: Tshuva ze sheila amuka. It's a very very difficult question with regards to when a mitzvah does need a brocha and when a mitzvah does not need a brocha. And it's a matter that the Rishonim have really tried to grapple with. And it's really very difficult to set rules as to when mitzvahs do need brachas and when mitzvahs do not need brachas. But I'm going to try and give you when they do need brachas, when they do not need brachas. However, what I can tell you is the following. And a kol mitzvah she'ein ba maisa, ein mevrachin aleha. Any mitzvah that does not have a action does not need a brocha. Kagon hashmatas kesofim v'kiyotze ben. For example, hashmatas kesofim and similar things. Hashmatas kesofim, the annulment of loans. There's no maisa. There's no action. It's purely cerebral. There's no action in the minds. There's no action. Then that does not require a bracha. Just parenthetically, of course, when it comes to hashmatas kesafim, that's only in the mind. That's only with regards to the person who the loan belongs to. I have to annul my loans. That doesn't mean, of course, that the person who owes the loan, he is still allowed to pay the loan, or is still obligated to pay the loan. I have to annul my loan, doesn't mean you're not allowed to pay the loan. But again, any mitzvah, any mitzvah that doesn't have a mitzvah, you don't say a brocha. V'chein, ein mevrachin al mitzvah she'ein tzuriya kula biyata osa. Similarly, any mitzvah that is not totally dependent on you, but rather somebody else is involved, could go in matanas anim. For example, when you're going to give something to a poor person, that also would not would not require a bracha, because I'm sure you've heard this before. For example, I'm about to give tzedakah to a poor person. I say my bracha, and then he doesn't accept it, or he runs away. So, if the mitzvah is dependent on somebody else doing something as well, I can't say a bracha, because they may not agree to be part of your mitzvah, and therefore your bracha would be obviously levatala. And then the Rashba says, "V'chein al dava shehu maso lebeistin going asiyas hadayonim shema lo yikabru bale din es daito." Perhaps when the beistin give a psak, they may not accept it. The defendant, the litigants, may not accept the psak of the beistin, and therefore one cannot say a brocha on that. Because they may not accept it, and therefore the mitzvah of the bracha that you said has not been completed. So that would come under the category of a mitzvah she'ena tluya kula biyad ha'osa. That's why. Sorry.
The person will get it wrong. So the shofti is formish batzedek, and they could make a mistake in their judgment.
Well, we don't assume, though, that a beis din is going to make the wrong psak. We don't assume. I don't think that's the assumption. But we're going to talk about that in a second. So, that's what the Rashba says. So there is a, it's interesting, there's a Pischei Tshuva. Pischei Tshuva asks, what bracha would you make if you were going, there is no, what bracha would you make if you have, if you're going to give up your life al Kiddush Hashem? Let's say you're going to make, you're going to make the bracha, al Mitzvah Kiddush Shem Shemayim. Sorry?
He did
indeed. So there's a mitzvah of the brisker of. You probably heard it, for all you briskers out there. So the brisker of was accosted by a goy, and the goy told him that you have to do something, and the brisker of said, no, I'm not going to do it, rather I'm going to give up my life. So the brisker of starts to say the bracha al kiddush shem shemayim, whatever the bracha of the world he's going to say, with all the kavanas of a briska, and he closes his eyes and says the bracha. And by the time he opens his eyes, he's in the middle of the bracha. The guy is so scared that the guy is ran off. So the briska runs in the middle of the bracha, so he runs after the guy and says, No. So that's the problem when you make a bracha that's tluya kula biyada, it's not, it was dependent on somebody else killing him. So that's the shaila of the Pischei Tshuva. But this, when the Tshuva Rashba says that you can't make a bracha on a beis din, on psak of a beis din, seems to be difficult, because one would think that if the dayanim are doing their utmost to give the right psak, and they have clarified, and they have worked, and the litigant doesn't accept it, why is that the fault of the beis din? What's the beis din done wrong? Surely the beis din should still be able to make the bracha. Surely you should still be able to make the bracha, irrespective of whether the litigants accept psak or the not. So the Chasam Sofer says as follows, as a bit of an offshoot of this. He says, and this comes to your point, he says, if I shake a lulav, I know I've done it right. If I shake the shofar, I know I've done it right. But with the best will in the world, maybe the beis din have given the wrong psak. The best will in the world, nothing bad, nothing evil, no ill intentions. They've just got it wrong. They may have misunderstood something, overlooked a detail. Maybe they didn't even get the full story. So how can you make a bracha on that? However, the later Achronim say if the Dayanim have really tried their best to give the right Pesach, they've given their most honest opinion. The later Achronim want to say, what does Hashem expect of them? Hashem can only expect the Dayanim to do their best. So surely they should still be able to make a bracha. This is somewhat similar to the discussion of the Ramah in Hilchos Pesach by Bedikas Chometz and Simon Tov Lamed Beis, where we all know the famous Ramah says about Bedikas Chometz, do you really have to put out the 10 pieces of Chometz by Bedika or not? Because even if you don't put out the 10 pieces and you don't find anything, we know you're still able to make a bracha. Why? Because that's called a Bedika. You try your best to find chametz. If you don't find chametz, still called a bedika. So to hear, if the dayanim have tried their best, done their utmost, they didn't. Nevertheless, so they should still be able to make a bracha. So it's not very clear. So I heard. I haven't seen this inside. I just actually wanted to say at the beginning, thank you to Rav Shay Shechter, who told me some of these Mari Makomos. So there's a stei chemed. I haven't seen it inside, and he said like this: Why is there no bracha by a beis din? He says whenever a person makes a bracha, what do we say? Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah v'tivanu. Hashem gave us this mitzvah, and it elevates us with kedusha. Hashem gave us so many mitzvahs to perform, and that's why I'm doing this. Why do we have a beis din? Why do we have a judicial system? Is it because we're Jewish? Is it because we're elevated? Well, do non-Jews also have to have a judicial system?
Yeah.
It's one of the Shevet Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. And therefore, says the Stei Chemed, you can't say, Asher Kedishanu V'mitzvah Yisrael V'tzivanu, Hashem gave this to us. Because we're elevated, we have the extra kedusha that the non-Jews don't have. They also have the mitzvah. Even if not Jewish, you would still have a court system. So that's what the Stei Chemed explains as to why there is no bracha on the mitzvah. Nevertheless, whether you say a bracha or you don't say a bracha, there's definitely still a mitzvah to go to Din Torah, to go to a beis din, as long, obviously, as it's not corrupt. And why we don't make a bracha, that is a different story.
You could make that argument over anything we do. We make a bracha before eating. The non-Jews also have to eat.
Yeah, there's no mitzvah. So now we go to an interesting, very interesting shaila. One more point. So the Rambam tells us in the Minyan of Mitzvahs. The Rambam writes famously, we know, Shelo l'chayv es ha-zakay v'lizchus es ha-chayv. He says you can't make somebody who is innocent chayv, and you can't make somebody who is chayv potter. Can't be biased. The dying can't be biased, even if the guy is really poor and you want to make him give him a win. You can't do that. And if somebody is really rich, you can't make him, you can't obligate him if he's innocent. So the Shach adds something interesting. He says, it's true, you can't change the psak to suit the circumstances, but not just in Dine Mamonos, but also in a shayla of Issa Veheta. So say, for example, you call up your local rabbi, and you ask him a shayla about the kashrus of one of your pots. And the rabbi thinks to himself, this guy is asking me a shayla about a pot. This guy lives in a house, huge house, in Nameless Road in Nameless City. And he's working in a nameless job in a nameless firm in that city. And he is worth a nameless amount of money. And he's asking me a shayla about a £10 pot. and he's going to make me think about, and he's going to make me spend 10 minutes looking at my svarim. You know, why is he draining my cup? Just go out and buy a new pot. So the Shach says, if the Rav says it's go throw it out, and he doesn't give him the right psak, that's a violation of lo sasu avol b'mishpat, causing a perversion of justice, not just in Beis Din, but also in psak of a Rav, in any area of halacha, you always have to tell the absolute truth in psak. There's no such thing as a Rav saying, oh, the guy can afford it, do me a favor, I'm not going to drain my cup. You always have to tell the truth. Similarly, all the later Achorim discuss that if a Rav, if somebody is asked to shine it to the Rav, and the Rav really thinks there's room to be machmir, nevertheless, the Rav always has to explain, should always explain, that really me'ikar adin, it's mutter. Me'ikar adin, it's mutter. But there is room to be machmir, and this is why maybe I think you should be machmir. But one can never present the ikar adin as being lechumra if that's not true. One cannot say that me'ikar adin is to be machmir if really me'ikar adin is to be mutter. Now, moving on. So this is the interesting shaila. Obviously, one always has to be as honest as possible, especially Dayanim and Beis Din, and one can never change psak to suit one's will. The Klausenberger Rebbe asked an interesting shaila in his Shailish and Tshuvas, the Divrei Yatziv, in the Chedek on the Choshen Mishpat Simon Dalit. And this is the shaila that he asks. He was on a Beis Din, and there was two litigants in front of him. And he says as follows: one guy, the one who had to pay up, he says the guy was clearly a crook. He was a criminal, and he needed to pay, let's say, £50,000. £50,000. But the Rebbe knew that if he obligates him to pay £50,000, he was never going to pay up. So the defendant who was owed the money would get nothing. So he thought to himself, you know what, maybe I should say he only owes the guy £20,000. And if I say that, then maybe the defendant will get, he'll get at least some of his money. You'll get some of his money. It's not the right psak. In fact, it's a lie. He's owed 50,000. If I say 50, he'll never get it because the guy won't pay up. If I say 20, he'll at least get something. Is he allowed to do so? And he writes, maybe I should do that because I want the guy to get some of his money back. On the other hand, maybe I should just tell the truth. That's what my job is, to give a truthful psak and then leave the rest up to Hashem. Maybe it's not for me to make those type of calculations. So he quotes a very similar case. So we know there's a halacha in the Gemara in Sanhedrin that I'm sure you all know. There's a normal case of Dinei Mamonos in a basin has three dayanim. And if the case, one dayan says yes, one dayan says no, then we know that the third dayan is always machri, achrei rabim lahatis. You always need an odd number of dayanim. What about if one says yes, one says no, and the third says, you know what, I just don't know, I'm confused, I've lost track of what's going on, I don't know. What happens? So the Gemara says, you add on more dayanim. And then, hopefully, the extra dayanim will be able to conclude the case. So he quotes a Pischei Tshuva, also in Choshen Mishpat. This seems to be a quite famous Pischei Tshuva, Simen Yud Ches, Sif Katan Dalet, And the Pesachei Tshuva brings the following case. These three Dayanim are judging a case. The first two say the guy is Chayiv. And the third Dayan says, these two Dayanim, there's no way this guy is Chayiv. These two Dayanim are crooks. They're not honest Dayanim. The problem is, if I say the truth that the guy is Potter, then he's going to be Chayiv, because it'll be two against one. So what about if I say, I'll lie, and I'll say, Eini Yodea, I don't know, I've lost track, and I'll be recused, I'll be let off, I'll recuse myself, with the hope that I add on more Dayanim, and hopefully they'll be honest, hopefully, and they'll be able to outvote those two criminals, those two dodgy Dayanim. That's the case of the Pesachei Tshuva.
So there's only din in the foshes.
Yeah, there's only din in the foshes. We're going to get onto a case like that. So that's the case of Pesachei Tshuva. Can the third Dayan lie? Can he give a false psak? Because he knows that the first two Dayanim are not being honest, with the hope that his lie will eventually bring about a true and honest psak. So he brings a machlokis to Beis Yaakov and the Shvus Yaakov. Beis Yaakov is Simon Tesvav, Shvus Yaakov is Simon Kuf Lamed Ches. Beis Yaakov says, absolutely forbidden to do so, you have to leave it to Hashem. If Hashem wants the true psak to come about, Hashem will orchestrate it. And Shvus Yaakov says, no, that's right, do it. If your intentions are the Shem Shemaim, to bring out the true din, then you should definitely do that. Now finally we come on to one more interesting case and machlukas based on this week's parsha. This week's parsha in Mishpatim says, Lo tia achre rabim lera'os. This week's parsha, Chaf Gimel Gimel. So if you look there at the Or HaChaim, there's a machlokas to Or HaChaim and other achronim. So he brings the Gemara and Sanhedrin, the nefashos case that we just mentioned. Got 30, the Gemara and Sanhedrin tells us, you've got a capital case. Somebody's about to be put to death. 23 Dayanim. If all 23 Dayanim say he is Chayev, he goes free. That doesn't make sense. They all said he's Chayev. So why does he go free? Must be that the Dayanim didn't work hard enough. How can it be that all 23 didn't find one scrap of evidence, something that was enough to a shred of evidence to that he should be potter? No. However, if 22 say he's chayev and one says he's potter, then he's chayev. Then you follow the 22. So what about the following case? All 22 say he's chayiv. And you come to the 23rd Dayan. And the 23rd, number 23, says, wait a second. If I say he's chayiv, like I think he is, he's going to go free.
Yeah.
So what should I say?
Potter.
Say Potter. And then he'll act tucker, he'll be chayiv, which I think he is. So I don't want to say chayiv, because then he'll get off. So is he allowed to say potter, which he's lying, in order to be mechayiv the guy? So the question is, do the ends justify the means? Can he lie? That's not good. But the end will be that this guy gets his just deserts. So the Or HaChaim writes that the Pasuk says the Ra'os advisedly, and the Dayan has to vote with the accurate Halacha. Hashem is the final Dayan, and And the Dayan here on earth has no right to play God if the accused is to go free or not. There are other Achronim who argue with him and say, no, if my idea is l'shem shemayim, that and they really believe that this guy is needs to be dealt with, and again your motivations are pure l'shem shemayim, then other Achronim argue with the Orach Chaim, and they say you are allowed to lie for the greater good. So those are some of the interesting shailas with regards to can a dayan pervert or lie in order to bring about the greater good. So obviously, as we said already, with regards to all these shailas, it doesn't just it's not just with regards to a dayan, but also a rav has to be very careful. Does a rav ever have a right to change his psak because he thinks that also he wants to bring about the greater good for his congregants or for his Talmud? Can a rav ever change a psak for his own personal considerations? I would suggest that a rav has to be scrupulously honest in the way he presents a psak to a person, being transparent and accurate to the Mesorah, and obviously also to the mitzvah of Lo Sasu Avel B'Mishpat. Have a very wonderful Shabbos.
Shabbos. Shabbos. Shabbos.